Okay, if you have your Bibles, open them to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to try to answer a rhetorical question. Here's the question I have for you today. Why study the Bible? That's the question I have for you today. Why study the Bible? Why study the Bible? We're going to try to answer it. We're going to begin in verse 15 of chapter 2. And we're going to work our way through verse 8, God willing, of chapter 4. Looking for reasons why we should study the Bible. So let's begin in chapter 2 and verse 15. Study. Exert. Endeavor. Work with diligence to show, to prove, to be at the disposal of, to fellowship with. That's what approve means, to show. It means to be at the disposal of, to fellowship with. So right now we need to exert with diligence. So that we prove we want to be at the disposal and fellowship with, in a certain manner, thyself approved, accepted and pleasing. That's the word. So now we're going to exert ourselves so that we are at the disposal of, so that we are in fellowship with, in an accepted and pleasing manner, unto God. A workman. The word is a hired farmer. That's what it means. It's not just any laborer. It's a very specific laborer. An hired agricultural worker. A hired farmer. Now y'all know I've spent some time youth pastoring in rural county Sampson, where it is farm fields and farm fields and farm fields and farm fields. And at time of the harvest, they go out and hire a bunch of workers to go out and to gather. So now we get the idea that I'm to study, I'm to exert myself, I'm to work with diligence so that I'm at the disposal of God. So I'm in fellowship with God in an accepted and well-pleasing manner that God says is accepted and well-pleasing for the purpose of being a hired farmer in His field. And as I'm out there being that hired farmer in His field, I will not be ashamed. That needeth not be ashamed. That means I'll be free from that which brings shame. There will be no dishonor to God because of my work. Because I will exert myself. I will put all diligence into it. I will do it so that I'm at His disposal. So that I remain in constant fellowship with Him. So that I am accepted, well-pleasing to God. Free from all shame, bringing no dishonor to Him because I worked hard. I worked right. I rightly divided. Rightly dividing. That means I set a straight path or course. Isn't it fitting that that word follows right after the idea of a hired farmer? That we cut a straight path or course. It could be applied to wood, but in this essence, is the idea of making a path straight. It goes back to the herald, John the Baptist, who said that his duty was to make the path straight for the coming king. To straighten out the crooked way. So why do I study my Bible? To set a straight path for people to see the king. nothing distracting them, nothing in the way, everything cleared out because of my hard work. Nothing preventing somebody going straight out into the harvest and gleaning that which God has already produced. The word, sayings of God, mandates, moral precepts, the word of truth. Opposite of imperfection. I like that. Opposite of imperfection. Opposite of defective. Opposite of frail. Opposite of counterfeit. Opposite of imaginary. The word of truth. We are to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we continue reading verses 15 through 18. Or verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So why am I going to study to show myself approved, Jake? Here's why I'm going to do it. First and foremost, this scripture says, I'm going to study so that I shun profane and vain babblings. That's the empty talk of Christianity, or that which appears to be Christian. See, we can talk a lot about God without ever saying anything about God. We can talk a lot about Jesus without ever saying anything about Jesus. We can sing a lot of truth about Jesus without ever actually dedicating our heart to Jesus. We're to shun profane and vain babblings. We're to deal with the weighty matters, not the shallow matters. We are required by God to dig deep. We're not to, this is why Pastor Sean is constantly critiquing or criticizing those who give sermonettes. Those who don't actually dig deep for something that's going to take hold and have root in Christ, in the true vine, and bring forth fruit in life. We're not to have some kind of shallow diligence about this. We should never come into this chapel service and think to ourselves, okay, it's another 45-minute period. It's my time to dilly-dally my way in because it's not as serious as my math class, which if I don't do well enough on, my GPA is going to tank and I'm not going to go to college. Considering this determines the manner of the abode that you have off the street of gold. You, Cole, get this. Heaven is not utopia. It is not some Marxist dream world in which we all have equal share. To whom is responsible with the little that God gives him on this planet, he says he will reward them in eternity with much. Some will rule and reign over larger sections than others. That's right. There will be people with more and people with less in heaven, according to the scripture. Your mansions may very well be different sizes if you actually believe that we have this mansion concept. Because the Bible does say, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. We're not going to be equal in heaven, no more than we have been equal on this planet. What determines your much or your little is your working to show thyself approved now. The shunning of the vain, the shunning of the profane. Because those things are nothing more than the idea of gangrene an infection eating away, a flesh-eating virus just eating away at you until your flesh is just falling from the bone. He wants you to have that putrid thought in your head, because that's how God sees the empty talk and the vain ramblings when we're talking a lot about, when we're answering Bible questions on our Bible quizzes, and we're just rambling Jesus, rambling Jesus, rambling Jesus, rambling Jesus. Hope I threw Jesus in there enough, because somewhere in some flippant song I heard Jesus is the answer every time. And I really have no clue what I'm even talking about. I'm just rambling, hoping I stumble across the answer. God said that's like gangrene. It's an infectious wound that grows until it overthrows your faith. And then if you're the promoter of that vocally, then he compares you to these two guys who were the agents of gangrene. How about in verse 19? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. You get that? All the vain, all the profane, all the rambling, all the loose conversation, it means nothing to God, because he really knows who's his. You're not fooling anybody. That actually counts. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why do I study my Bible? So that I will know when I'm supposed to depart, so that I do not participate in iniquity, sin, loose living, gossip, slander, bullying, making fun of, picking on, laughing at. Ignoring, ostracizing, speaking harshly to. Depart from iniquity. Why do I want to depart from iniquity? Because there's something better I want to be. I want to be a vessel of honor. So it says in verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If a man therefore purge himself from these, youthful lust. And he doesn't break it down any further. Now that could be speaking about our hormones and our natural attraction to the opposite gender. It could. But I'm not sure that's all that it means. Because when I think about youthful lust and I think about the society in which they lived, most ladies were married off about 15 or 16 years of age, if not younger. So then what becomes youthful lust? The pursuit of fame. The pursuit of riches. The pursuit of superstardom. And you don't think they didn't have that back then? They have it just like we have it today. I want to be the great orator. I want to be the next Homer. I want to be the next Socrates, the next Plato, the next Aristotle. the next Herodotus, the next Hippocrates. I want to be the next Hercules, the next Achilles. What do you think drove Alexander the Great, who was considered a youth, the boy king? Youthful lust. Youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. What's the most important thing you're going to do in life, Abrea? I can answer it for you. Serve Christ. That's the most important thing. Heather, you know what the most important thing in life is? To serve Christ. It's not getting into Duke. It's not getting into Chapel Hill. It's not getting into any college that you want to pick. It's to serve Christ. It's not even learning English. Esther, it's not even learning English. It's serving Christ. That's the most important thing. Now, if I'm serving Christ, may He call me to be a doctor, Zeb? Sure. May He call me to be a scientist, Miles? Sure. May He call me to be a pastor, Jake? Sure. My occupation is secondary to my primary responsibility of serving Christ. Because my occupation is only the tool by which I serve Christ. It is not the most important thing. Never trade your occupation for your service of Christ. Never trade your dream of a school, a college, for the will of God. Juniors, seniors, how many of you have actually dropped down on bended knee and prayed about which college you're supposed to go to? Or is the world driving that decision for you because you want the prestige of being at the big school? Some of you are going to go to Liberty University. Because we have crowds of Bereans going to Liberty University. They walk across this stage in May. They walk down here. They walk out the back doors. They spend a few months in the summer. They get in their vehicles and they drive up 87, 29 and pull in and make that left-hand turn into University Boulevard. Roll up to DeMoss Hill, get their rooms, and off they go to their residential hall and class. And why did they go? I pray they went because God said, go that path. But I fear most go because of youthful lust. I want to go where my friends go. And it's a school that has less rules than I want. Here's my rule threshold. Here's liberty. Yeah, that's where I want to be. And since I had to have a threshold even lower than liberty, maybe I want to be at UNC, Pembroke, Wilmington, Greensboro, Charlotte, ECU, WCU, FSU, FTCC, Methodist, hey, Campbell, Pensacola, Liberty, Clearwater, Appalachian. You see, it doesn't matter whether it's Christian or whether it's secular if God didn't tell you to go there. And you go there for any other reason than God said, go there. You are pursuing your own youthful lust. And we're to avoid that. And we're to avoid that. So I'm not promoting a college to you. I'm promoting the God who knows what He wants in your life, that has said, this is the straight path that I want you to go down. This is the straight course I want you to study and know for sure that you're on. And I can't tell you which school that is, Cole. Kara, I can't tell you. China, I don't know. For me, it was one and then it was another. At different levels. I don't know. And that was before I even got to a college, because at first it was the Army. I don't know. But God does. But God does. And that's why we study our Bible, so that we're in fellowship and in an accepted manner. And we know that we're not pursuing youthful lust. So I'm purging that from my life. And now, to be the vessel of honor, I'm going to pursue certain things like righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions I avoid. That means the ones that have no answer, I don't engage in. I have better things to do with my life. I have time. I need to be busy serving God, not answering silly questions or entertaining silly questions. I don't care why Stonehenge was built. I'm not a scientist. I don't need to know why the world goes round and round and round and the Coriolis effect takes place. That's not my lane. That's Mr. May's lane. And in his service to Christ, he will teach you that. But in my service to Christ, I don't need to entertain it. I don't need to remember what a derivative is. Right? But more importantly, this foolish, unlearned question that I'm to avoid is the questions that all they are meant to do is divide us doctrinally. Because they really don't have any weight or bearing upon salvation. You see, this verse would have went real well with the sermon the last two Sundays that pastor's been preaching. We're looking for the points of commonality for unity. Not trying to answer the silly questions that divide. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. I'm pursuing again in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I'm pursuing, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I'm pursuing those who are trapped in Satan's lies. And why am I pursuing? Because the times are getting worse. I study my Bible because I know that the times are getting worse. As we continue reading, looking at it. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Why am I studying my Bible? Because whether you realize it or not, from the moment Acts chapter 1 took place and Jesus rose in the clouds, we're closer to his return, whenever that may be. Because we're 2,000 years down the road. And he keeps his promises. He's coming back. We just don't know when. But he is coming back. That's why we say we believe in the imminent return of Christ. He's coming back. It's that simple. And as he gets closer to his return, it says that something else is supposed to also happen in this world. Things are going to get dangerous. Perilous times. Things are going to get dangerous. Things are going to get dangerous. Things are going to get dangerous. People are going to break into people's houses. Things are going to get dangerous. Murder and crime is going to increase. Things are going to get dangerous. It's going to get to the point where you don't want to watch the news because everything is about being dangerous. And why are things going to get dangerous? Because men are lovers of their own selves. They're proud. They're boasters. They're covetous. They love evil. It's going to be so bad, Jesus himself said over in the gospel, will I find faith on the planet when I return? Will I find faith on the planet when I return? Things are going to get dangerous, guys. So I got to study my Bible to know what the danger signs are, to know how I'm supposed to act in the face of danger, to know what I'm supposed to do in the face of danger, so that I can check myself and say, today, let me see. Have I been covetous? Have I been a boaster? You know, arrogant, conceited, bragging about your own abilities. Can I be honest with you? Y'all know my team is the St. Louis Cardinals, right? I turned off the World Series and I stopped watching it. Not because they were losing, but because I could no longer stand to watch my favorite team play baseball anymore, because I can no longer stand the way they play baseball. I am sick and tired. That's an old person saying. I am sick and tired, fed up to here with the guys who step in a batter's box and argue balls and strikes or hit a home run and don't run, but watch it go over the fence and then brag and hoop and holler, slam bats, throw hats, throw gloves, slam baseballs, slam bats, who look at the umpire in disgust and disbelief, who shake their head, who do not just bounce up and go about their business because it is what the umpire called it. So sick of baseball, so sick of professional sports and the people that call themselves role models, that I probably will never watch a game again in my entire life. Sick of it. Because they are this right here. I quit watching basketball a long time ago. I quit watching football a long time ago. And I've just given up professional baseball. And I would love to see the Christian athlete say, hey, God called me to the lower contract during free agency. But I'm afraid we're in these verses. And then it doesn't make me mad. It breaks my heart when you emulate them. When you emulate them on our courts and on our fields. I'm just being honest. So we study so that we're so familiar with what these actually mean, we can avoid them. We're running out of time. Let me just run down through more of these real quickly and we'll finish up on time. I challenge you to read. I'm going to give you the passages. What the thematic part of it is. We study to avoid the trap of liars and their lies. That's verses 6 through 13 of chapter 3. The liars and their lies. They prey on the gullible. They constantly search but never settle on truth. Because for them, truth is not absolute. I study to find absolute truth. They are imitators of the good works of God, but they do not have God. They serve the things of God, but not God. Compared to Paul, their lifestyle doesn't match. Compared to Paul, their message doesn't match. So I study and I look at what Paul wrote because that's his message. I study and look at the book of Acts, what Luke wrote, because that's the life Paul lived. And when those who are in Christian leadership don't match that, I don't follow them. Lest I get caught in the lies of liars. Verses 14 through 17 tell me that I am supposed to continue growing. I study so that I continue to grow in a way that exhibits, visualizes, manifests, demonstrates salvation has come into my life. Because through the study of Scripture, I learn and am assured of what I've been taught. The Scriptures make me wise unto salvation. The Scriptures show me the effectual nature that through the doctrine, the reproof, the correction, the instruction in righteousness, I may be thoroughly furnished, made perfect unto all good works. As I get into chapter 4, I learn through verses 1 through 5 that I am to avoid the crowd. I'm to be instant, in season and out of season. I'm not to follow those who take and get teachers that tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. Sometimes the most loving thing that you can do as a child of God is tell the other person, that's wrong. That's sin. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do is tell them, wake up. Stay awake for God. And then verses 6, 7, and 8. It says, I study so that at the end of my life I can say I fought a good fight. I study so at the end of my life I can say I finished my course. I study so at the end of my life I can say I have kept the faith. I study so at the end of my life I can say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I study because of the eternal rewards, looking past the temporal of today, tomorrow, the next 4, 6, 8, 10, 20, 30 years of what's called a human life. Because through Scripture, I find the thing that's most important is Christ. Through Scripture, I find the most important thing I can do in the next 50 years of my life. I'm talking at your age. At my age, average lifespan, the next 30 years of my life is to continue in service to Christ. Because when this temporal life is over, and if the Lord does not return in that imminent return before this body goes into the ground, I still have an eternity of service. And the amount of service and the type of service is determined by the next 30, 40, 50, 60 years of existence for all of us in this room. That's why I study the Bible. Why should you study the Bible? That was our question. Those are the answers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day you've given, Father. I thank you for your blessings on us. God, give us the strength to live your word. not to know it, but to live it. Because if we live it, then we're proving we know it. Lord, make that our primary objective in life. In this I ask in Jesus' name, amen.